like to thank everyone for joining us for a continuing series of legal holidays, Yarche Kala. Today's shiur is co-sponsored by the Muncie Unite Seder Beis Medrash and co-organized by them as well. Thank you to all of them who are involved. They have sponsored the shiur L'Zecher Nishmas Yehuda ben Chaim and Moshe Mordechai ben Zvi. The shiur was also being sponsored. Mitzad, they called Zichron Mordechai by the Schiff family, L'Zecher Nishmas Hagaon HaRav Moshe Tversky. I don't have his Hebrew name. If anybody has it, you can let me know. The first topic for today's shiur is the Torah is the DNA of the universe. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein is the Ward Asher of Torah Emes and Kew Gardens in Queens, and he has many, many shiurim that you can learn from on, I think, TorahAnytime.org. And pretty soon this year we'll probably join that voluminous list. And thank you for joining us.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Thank you very much for having me. I want to thank the Muncie Night Seder Beis Medrash, together with Kahal Zecher Mordechai, for hosting this event, for sponsoring this event. And we're mevarech, all of the organizers. And I have to give a special yashikayach to my dear chaver of Aaron Subar, who's really been my partner for the last couple of years in disseminating the shiurim through various means. Aaron set up an email system where you could get the Imar Mekoymus of the shiurim many times a week, a number of times a week. He posts the shiurim on Kol HaLashon as well. So I want to give a big yashikayach to Rav Aaron and to all the organizers. Okay, Rabbi, so Parshas Vayetze. What I'd like to do this morning is to present to you a number of very simple comments of Rashi, comments that we're familiar with, we've learned many, many times, we're almost overly familiar with, and because we're so familiar with them, we have never really took the time to stop and ask ourselves, does this really make sense? And if we do take the time, even momentarily, to observe what Rashi is telling us, very simple Rashis we're familiar with from the time we're young, we'll realize there is something underlying a number of comments of Rashi on Chumash that are obviously revealing to us something mind-boggling, really something very startling. Okay, begin Parshas Vayetze. Vayifka b'amokoyim, vayolen shom kiva ha-shemesh, vayikach miyavnei amokoyim, vayosem rashoysov, vayishkav b'amokoyim ahu. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu lay down in that place, b'amokoyim ahu, in that place. B'amokoyim ahu. So Rashi's bothered, what do you mean b'amokoyim ahu, in that place? Obviously, wherever you lie down, it's going to be that place. You can't lie down in a different place than you are. What do you mean, b'amokoyim ahu? As opposed to what? It should say, v'yishkav. V'yishkav b'amokoyim. It says, Rashi, loshon miyot. V'yisei mokoyim shachav. Yaakov lay down there. Avol yud dalet shonim, shashimesh v'veis eiver. But the 14 years of Yaakov Avinu, doesn't say he learned. Learning's not enough. He was mashamesh tamidei chachomim v'veis eiver. Lo shachav v'layla. He didn't lie down at night. Shahaya oisek b'tar. Okay, one of the most well-known Rashis in Chumash. Yaakov Avinu was learning Torah for 14 years. Why doesn't the Torah say explicitly Yaakov Avinu was learning Torah? Not Akasha, there are a lot of things that the Torah is only merames to and doesn't say outright. Okay, and this is one of them. Vayishka b'amokim ahu. But the 14 years, b'shem ve'ever, he did not lie down at night. Okay. But if we look further, Rashi at the end of Chayisara, Rashi wants to know, why does the Torah tell us the years of the life of Yishmael? Who cares how long Yishmael lived? I could care less. Yishmael lived 137, 140, 143. So Rashi says to the Gemara Megillah, Amra b'chia barava l'manimnu shnoisav shel Yishmael, in order to learn out the years of Yaakov, from the lifetime of Yishmael, we could figure out that Yaakov Avinu was Shimesh Beveis Eiver 14 years. Because we know from the time that Yaakov left his father, Yishmael died because Esav went to marry the daughter of Yishmael. And the Torah says Yishmael's son married off Yishmael's daughter to Esav. So from there we could figure out that Yaakov Avinu must have been learning for 14 years, because otherwise there's a missing 14 years in the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu. So again, how do we know Yaakov learned for 14 years? Does the Torah say he learned for 14 years? No. How do I know? From the life of Yishmael, I could figure out that Yaakov Avinu learned for 14 years. What, the Torah is embarrassed to say straight out that Yaakov Avinu learned for 14 years? What, it's a busha? So say he learned 14 years? No. We say useless information, right? Rashi has a kasha. Why do I need to know how long Yishmael lived? I care how long Yishmael lived. You know what the answer is? The answer is, I don't care. I could care less how long Yishmael lived. But from the life of Yishmael, I could figure out Yaakov Avinu was learning in Kailo for 14 years. So say it. Vayilmad Yaakov beveis Eiver Yudalit Shana. No, that's like taboo. We're afraid, we don't want to say that. So what do we say? We say there was an Oisvarf by the name of Yishmael. He lived, okay, he did Shuva b'Soif Yoma, but we don't really care how long he lived. It's only to figure out how many years Yaakov learned in Kailo. So say it. No. Vayishkav v'amokim ahu. He slept in that place. But the 14 year, he didn't. Yishmael lived 137. 137? That means we're missing 14 years of Yaakov's life. Oh, it must be he was learning. Okay. Then we have another Rashi at the end of Toldos. Rashi makes a cheshbon. Rashi says if you count up the years of Yaakov Avinu, you're missing 14 years. So Rashi says, look at number 9. And here Rashi uses a little bit of a different word. Says Rashi, Hare chaserim yudalid shanim. We're missing 14 years. Halamadita she'achar shekibel habrachos nitman. Rashi doesn't say shimesh. Nitman, he was hiding beveis eiver yudalid shanim. So again, does the Torah say he learned 14 years? No. Is it explicit? No. It's a cheshbon. We could figure out there are missing 14 years. What was Yaakov doing? It must be he was learning. So there are three places in the Torah where the Torah gives you information from which you could figure out Yaakov Avinu was learning for 14 years. Would there be anything wrong if the Torah said that after Yaakov was running away from Esav, Yaakov learned 14 years? Why is the Torah dancing around the issue? Why are we hiding it? What are we afraid of? What are we embarrassed of? Just say he was learning. It almost seems every single time this Indian is brought up, we have to talk about it in the most indirect possible way. Why? What is so taboo about the topic of Yaakov learning? And then, if you notice, in number 3, Rashi changes his lashon. Rashi doesn't say, like he says in Vayetze, Shehaya Oisek Batayra, Sheshimesh Beveseiver. Rashi doesn't say, like he says in Chayisara, Lamadnu Sheshimesh Yaakov. Rashi says, Nitman! He was hiding in the Beis Medrash. Now, let's just imagine for a moment, we were Esav, and we're looking for Yaakov Avinu. So you can imagine, Esav, let me think for a moment. Where is Yaakov? So Esav says, oh, let me check his big spots. So he goes to the pool hall. Hey, Yaakov Avinu, he's not goofing around. And he goes to the bowling alley. No, Yaakov's not there. Where's Yaakov? And Yaakov's sitting there in the Beis Medrash, the same thing he's been doing for the last 77 years. Why didn't Esav check the Beis Medrash? I mean, this is not a big chachma. This is not rocket science. Yaakov Avinu is ishtam yoshev oihalim. Beis Medrash shel Shem, Beis Medrash shel Eiver. He didn't go to a new yeshiva. It wasn't like there were choices of yeshiva. He could learn in Chaim Berlin, Tarva Das, Lakewood. And Yaakov Avinu, this was the only show in town, Beis Eiver. That's what he did his whole life. This is not a new thing. This is not a new phenomenon. What kind of hiding place is Beis Eiver? What does it mean? He was in a closet? That every day Yaakov Avinu, Esav would come to the Beis Medrash. He would go to Yaakov's chair. Yaakov wasn't there. Yaakov was in the closet. What does Rashi even mean? He was nitman beveis eiver. Was he learning from Eber? Was Eber giving shir? Well, why couldn't Esav find him? What kind of hiding place is this? This is seemingly the most illogical hiding place that anybody could think of. This is the most obvious place to hide. It's not even a hide. That's what he did his whole life. So the questions I'm speaking out this morning come primarily from the Sefer Sam Derech. Sam Derech are the Chedushei Torah of Reb Simcha Zisel Broida, who was a Rosh Hashiva of Knesset Yisrael Chevron, passed away in about 14 years ago. He was one of the Ziknei Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He was a great nephew of the Altar of Kelm. He was a Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. People don't realize, at his Levaya, he had at least 100,000 people in Eretz Yisrael at his Levaya. He was from the Ziknei Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. There's a biography about him. Feldheim put out a biography, Prince of the Torah Kingdom, Reb Simcha Zisel Breida. So these are his questions. Then I want to mention another very interesting phenomenon about Parshas Vayetze, and I went this morning when they took out the Sefer Torah to just double check. Parshas Vayetze is actually a Parshas Sesuma. It's closed in. Everybody knows Parshas Vayechi, yeah? Parshas Vayetze in our Sefer Torah is a Parshas Sesuma. What do you mean? It's not true. There's a space between the end of Toldos and the beginning of Vayetze. There's a lot of spaces in the Sefer Torah. But normally a parasha begins the next line. Parashas Vayetze, I went to check this morning because I wasn't 100% sure. I know the Baal HaTurim says it, but Parashas Vayetze, the parasha Toldos ends and Vayetze begins just a few spaces later, like any pay in the Torah. Why is that? And by the way, besides that, there are no pays and samachs in the whole parasha. Says the Das HaKeinim, Tosfos points out, look at number 5. Lefikach parsha zu sesuma. You know why this parsha is closed in? Mibnei sheyatza betzina mibnei esa. Because Yaakov ran away in hiding. So why does the parsha have to suffer? Because Yaakov was hiding. Now the whole parsha has to suffer. There's no space because Yaakov was hiding. What does Yaakov hiding have to do with the fact that the parsha does not begin on the next line? What is one? So you say it's a remez. It's a remez. The fact that Yaakov was hiding, it's merumas in the closed-in, modest area of the one parsha to the next. The Baal HaTurim also points out, Yesh Aymerim, Sheparsha Zusasuma, V'hatam, the reason is, L'fi sheyotza b'seser u'barach v'hechave. The reason is, Yaakovina left in secret and he ran away in hiding. So again, why does the parsha have to suffer because Yaakov was hiding? What does Yaakov hiding have to do with the relative spacing of the parshas? Okay, we find the same thing in Parshas Vayechi. Now, Parshas Vayechi is a full-fledged Parshas Asuma. There is no space at all. It's just the next word. The end of Vayigash, beginning of Vayechi. If you didn't know, if you didn't prepare the parsha, you wouldn't know if it's the next parsha. You won't even know if it's the next pasuk. Why is Parshas Vayechi a Parshas Asuma? So again, Rashi says, look at number 8. Lama Parshas Asuma. Why is this parsha closed in? Lefisha kivan sheniftar Yaakov avinu nistemu einehem veliban shel Yisrael mitzaras hashiba. When Yaakov avinu passed away, the hearts and minds of Klal Yisrael were stuffed up, were clogged up because of the tragedies of the shibud, of the bondage, she'eschilu l'shabda. So therefore what? Because the shibud began, therefore we have to close in the parsha. Everybody know the shibud began. It's explicit in the psukim. Why now all of a sudden do the parshiyos have to be fused together just because the minds and hearts of Klal Yisrael became confused, became stuffed up because of the shibud? What does one thing have to do with the other? Rashi points out, Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the ketz, but it was hidden from him. And therefore what? Therefore the parshios have to be fused together. What's the connection between the spacing of the parshios and Yaakov trying to reveal the ketz and not being able to? Okay, here's the real whopper. Ready for this? This is a famous Rashi. If you think about it for a moment, it's mamish apliya shein kamayim. Okay, you ready for this? Listen to this. Rashi at the end of Noach, right before Lech Lecha, right before Hashem tells Abraham, go to Eretz Yisrael, how does Noach end? Vayamos Terach, Terach Bechara. Okay, well, wait a second. Who knows? How old was Avram Avinu when he left Haran, when he went to Eretz Yisrael? Right? The Avram Ben? 75 years old, right? Chamesh v'shim shana b'tzeis mechon, he's 75. How old was Terach when Abraham was born? He was 70. So, how old would have Terach been when Abraham left Haran? 145. He was 70 when Abraham was born, and now Abraham is 75. And then the Torah says at the end of Noach, Vayomos Terach b'chon. Terach died. So we would expect that Terach must have died at the age of 145. Because Abraham is 75 now, and Terach was 70 when Abraham was born. But we know the Torah says that Terach was 205 years old. He didn't die for another 60 years. So Rashi says, when the Torah says Terach died, Rashi says, just kidding. He didn't die. Rashi says, you know what it means he died? He died after Avram left Haran, and he came to Canaan, and he was there for more than 60 years. Well, that's not accurate reporting on the facts. So Rashi says, Avram was 75 when he left Haran. Terach was 70 when Avram was born. That would make Terach 145 when Avram left Haran. Adayin nisharu mishnoisav harbe. There are many more years left to Terach's life. Bilama hikdim akasav misasa shel Terach litasa shel Avram. So why does the Torah report that Terach died before Abraham left? Shaloi yehe hadavar maforsam lakal. So people shouldn't know that Abraham left his old aging father. V'yomram, people are going to say, what kind of son is this? A kid forsakes his old father. He's not mechabed his father. He lets his father be all by himself for 60 years. People are going to criticize Abraham. And the Torah doesn't want people to criticize Abraham. The Torah doesn't want people to know Abraham left an aging father. So you know what the Torah does? It buries Terach. It's Terach. He's dead. Abraham didn't leave an old father. Abraham left a dead father. His father died, and then Abraham left. And this way the Torah protects the honor of Abraham, and says Rashi, but this is false. Rishayim, even when they're alive, they're called dead. So it's based on a true story. That's Rashi. One simple question. Rashi, do you think the people in the times of Terach got their news from the Torah? Can you imagine? You have people, they're sitting around the table, they're playing, I don't know, they're playing what they used to play in the ancient Haran and Or Kazan, and they're talking to him. Do you remember that kid Abraham? What a nice boy. What happened? I haven't seen him in shul lately. I said, yeah. He left to Eretz Yisrael. Ribbono Shel Olam told him to go to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but Terach, he has nobody to take care of him. So what are people going to say? Terach, he's dead. I read in the Stone Chumash that Terach is dead. So don't criticize Avraham. Meanwhile, Terach comes by, he's walking by. You know, one day they go to Terach. Terach, where's your son Avraham? So Terach says, Avraham, Ribbono Shel Olam told him to go to Eretz Yisrael. He left you as an old man? No, Terach says, he didn't leave me. I'm dead. You didn't read the Chumash? The Chumash says I'm dead. I mean, Rashi, do you think people got the news from the Chumash? People see Terach walking the streets. He's alive. Who exactly are we worried about that's going to criticize? Who are we worried is going to criticize Abraham? Well, the people in the generation. They're going to see Abraham leaving his father. So how does the Torah address that? But there is no Torah yet. The Torah wasn't given yet. So after the fact, we're going to write that Terach died. So retroactively, people are not... I mean, even if people had the Torah, do you think, let's say they had the Chumash, that's where people got their news from? Terach is walking the streets. Terach is talking to his friends. His friend said, why'd your kid leave you? Terach said, don't worry, I'm not alive. I'm not here. The Torah says I'm dead. What does Rashi mean? Look at the words of Rashi. Rashi says, Shaloi Yehei Hadavar Mefursam Lakoil. So that people should not know that Avraham left his father. Is Terach alive? Yeah. Is he walking the streets? Yeah. People see every morning. The newspaper is coming to his house. Terach is getting the mail every day. But no one's going to criticize Avraham. You know why? Because the Torah says Terach died. Very nice. But the reality is he's alive. What's Rashi talking about? What does Rashi mean? What does Rashi mean? Shaloi Yehei Hadavar Mefursam Lakol. As if the only information they knew back then was based on what it says in the Chumash? What does Rashi mean? We're going to criticize Avraham? Why would we... Then if we're going to criticize Avraham, so then why is Rashi uncovering the secret that Terach's really not dead? Rashi shouldn't tell it to me then. Rashi should leave things be. Let us think that Terach died. Give you another example of this. Look in number 12, Parshas Vayishlach. When Yaakov Avinu is returning back to Yitzchak, it says he came to Aloin Bachus, and the Torah says that Devira, the Meinekes Rivka, passed away. By the way, somebody called me on a Matzah Shabbos. They said, their kid came home with homework. Who was Rivka's mother? I have no idea. I'm looking around. Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer, Lemichsei Atik, which means every time in the Chumash it says something and doesn't say who or when or what date, Reb Chaim tells you who or when or what date. It's a very short sefer, maybe 10, 20 pages. So on who's, it says by Rivka, she went to her mother. So who's her mother? So Reb Chaim brings down a medrash, her mother was Devira. Okay, there's a Medrash HaGadol. So Devira was not just Meinekes Rivka, but was also, according to some, the mother of Rivka. Fine. But Rashi says, Aloin Bachus implies there were two Avelos. Look at number 12. Va'agada Nisbaser Sham Be'evel Sheni. That at that time, Yaakov was told about a second mourning, a second Avelos. Shehu Gedloi Al Imoy Shemesa. Be'aloin B'lashen Yevoni Evel. So says Rashi, why doesn't the Torah say Rivka died? Shalo yikalelu habriyos hakeres sheyotza mimenu Esav. So that people do not curse the womb that produced Esav. Af hakosav loy persama. So therefore the Torah doesn't say Rivka died. So imagine such a thing. If the Torah would say Rivka died, then people would say, oh, Rivka, where is she? What happened to her? Oh, she passed away. And then someone would say, yeah, but you know what kind of kid she had? She had an Esav. But now, when people ask, where's Rivka? What happened to her? And people are going to say, what do you mean what happened to her? Nothing different than before. But I haven't seen her in a long time. It's taco a little strange why we haven't seen her in a long time. I wonder what could have happened to her. Now that the Torah doesn't say that she died, then what? Then nobody knows she died? As if the obituaries back then in ancient Middle East was the Chumash? I mean, when they opened up the paper and they read that Rivka Yemenu died, what, all of a sudden, yeah, they died. But the Torah doesn't say that, so she must be alive? I mean, people are, it almost seems like from Rashi, that people did not trust their own eyes, they didn't trust what they heard. Was Rivka alive or not? If she wasn't alive, why wouldn't people be Makalel, the keres that produced Esav? What does Rashi mean? Lefikach helimu es yoim maisa shel yikalu. People only find out that Rivka died from the Chumash. There is no Chumash. By the way, the Ramban points out that you know why the Torah doesn't write that Rivka died? Because who's at the Levaya? Yaakov was still in Padan Aram. Yitzchak was a chayla. Yitzchak was a suma. He couldn't come. Esav, the Ramban says, hated his mother, so he wouldn't come to Levaya. Listen to this. So if the Torah is going to say that Rivka died, the B'nai Ches are going to come and run and bury Rivka. And therefore the Torah doesn't want to say that Rivka died, the Ramban says. So the B'nai Ches don't come and bury Rivka. What? You think the B'nai Ches, every morning they open up the Chumash and they say, let's see what's going on in the world. Oh, Thomas Rivka, oh, Rivka died. Let's quickly run and bury her. And now that the Torah doesn't say it, they're not going to bury her. I mean, who do they think that woman was who was being carried in a coffin out of the house? Well, we don't know because it doesn't say in the Chumash. That's what the Ramban says. I'll read to you the words. Loi ratza hakosav lehazgir. The Torah, on the third line they're on. The Torah doesn't want to mention that Rivka died. Sheyik beruhu b'nei ches. So that the b'nei ches would come and bury her. And therefore the Torah doesn't say that she died. Oh, what's Rashi talking about? What's Ramban talking about? These are pashita comments of Rishonim that we learned dozens of times. You ever think for a moment? They're pliyim atzumim. They don't make any sense. Why does the Torah keep on skirting around the issue that Yaakov learned for 14 years? What's the big problem with it? Yaakov's hiding in the yeshiva. What kind of hiding place is that? Because Yaakov is hiding, you have to fuse the parashiyos together. We only know Terach died. The people only knew because it said it in the Chumash. They only knew Rivka died because it says in the Chumash. One last item. Vayhi ben Saya Harai. So the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Anav Kuf Tez Vav and Vez, going on to Kuf Tez Zayin, brings down a machlokes about the upside down nuns. What are those upside down nuns indicate? What does that mean? What is it trying to say? So the Gemara says that the Tanakhama says, Parshazu Asala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simniyos Milmala Ulamata Loimar She'ein Zemekayma. Really, Vayhi ben Saya does not belong in Bahaloscha. Really, it should be in Bamidbar. When it speaks about the travels of Klal Yisrael, it should be in Bamidbar. What's it doing there? It's out of place, and it's indicated by the upside down nuns. By the way, Rebbe says that's not the reason. Rebbe says, Sefer Bifnei Atzma. Vayhi ben Saya is a Sefer by itself. Right? According to Rebbe, how many books of Chumash are there? Seven books. Right? Shiva, Shviyei Torah. The Rashash asks, why do we say Chamisha Chamsei Torah? We actually paskin like Rebbe. We paskin like Rebbe. Rashash says, what do you mean 24 books in Tanakh? 26 books. And that's how Rebbe paskin. That's how we paskin. Bereshis, Shemais, Vayikra, Bamidbar before Vayhi ben Saya, Vayhi ben Saya, Bamidbar after Vayhi ben Saya, and Devorah. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Asida parshazu shetayakar mekan v'tichta v'mekayim. Eventually, these two psukim of Vayhi ben Saya will be uprooted. Why were they put here? To separate, to stop, to be mafsik between Puranos and Puranos, between different punishments in the Torah. The Ramban explains, this is a very important Ramban, that there are three consecutive punishments written in the Chumash and Parshas Bahaloscha. Number one, says the Ramban, the first punishment is Vayisu Mehar Hashem. That Klal Yisrael were standing at Har Sinai, and they got heard Mitzvah 609, Mitzvah 610, Mitzvah 611, Mitzvah 612. They said, Oy vey, let's get out of here. Who knows, Rav Moshe might go up to 700, 800, 900. So they ran away. Ketino kavarech mi beis hasef. Right? That's what Rashi says. Okay. And what was Puranus number two? Vayhi ha'am kimisayinim. Yeah? And then there's a third Puranus, and that is the Asafsof. Says Ramban, had the Torah not interrupted with Vayihi ben Saya Ha'arayim, it would be Shalosh Puranos Smuchai Zulazu V'nimtzu Mochzakim B'Puranos. Hear what the words of the Ramban? Had the Torah not interrupted the three punishments, if the Torah would have wrote Vayisu Mehar Hashem, number one, number two, the Misayinim, number three, the Hasafsof, had the Torah wrote three Averos back to back to back, Chas v'shalom, says Ramban, we would have been muchzak in Puranis. We would have established a chazaka. We would have established a reality that the Jewish people just keep on sinning. And therefore, the way the Torah wrote it was punishment, punishment, Vayhi ben Saya, punishment. Ramban, did Klal Yisrael sin back to back to back, three consecutive Puranas? Absolutely. That's what happened. First they were Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Then you had the Misayinim. And then you had the Yosafsa. Did Vayihi ben Saya happen then? No, didn't happen then. It happened in Bamidbar, two parashas before. So just because you report the facts inaccurately, that doesn't change the reality of how it happened. Right? Everybody knows just because it says it in the newspaper, it doesn't mean it actually happened. Right? Actually, if it's in the newspaper, you could be sure it didn't happen that way. So if it, the way it happened was back to back to back, it happened three consecutive Puranas, just because the Torah says it in a way that it didn't happen, how does that change the Chazakah? They did sin back to back to back. That's how it happened. That's the reality. That's the Metzius. Who cares how it's written? So we see from here a very fundamental yesod in how to learn Chumash and how to understand the Torah and what it means when something is written. And that is that we may think reality is what we see with our very own eyes, but reality is more determined by what it says in the Torah. And we'll explain the following one. We all know there's a concept of Estakel v'Iraisu Bara'am, that the Ribbono Shel Olam looked at the Torah and he created the world. Whatever you see in the world is less of a reality than the Torah, because the Torah is the blueprint. The Torah is the mold, the tzura, the architectural plans of creation and history. Whatever is in the Torah, you'll see in the world. Whatever is in the Torah, you'll see in history. Whatever is in the Torah, you'll see in reality. The reality as we see it is only a manifestation of what is documented in the Torah. I'll give you an example. If the sun, right, were closer to the earth than it is, the world cannot exist. If the earth was closer to the sun than it is, we would all melt, couldn't exist. If the moon were misaligned a little bit, we couldn't exist. Everything in reality is perfectly set up and attuned to the way things need to be. But it's the same thing in the Torah. Because that means like this. If the sun were a mile closer to us, we couldn't live. If one letter of the Torah was moved 1 inch, or one ice, or one pasuk, we also couldn't live. Certainly. If the sun moved, we couldn't live. You could be sure, you could take it to the bank, that if an ice would move, we couldn't live. Because the Torah, the letters of the Torah, are the blueprint of creation. That's why if you look in the Yalkut Shemayni, take a look. This is a very fundamental piece of the Medrash. Yalkut Shemayni says, we know, we say every morning, the Torah was given in which generation? The 1,000th generation. Davar Siva Le'elef Dar. What do you mean? But Moshe Rabbeinu was generation 26? Yeah. So says the Yalkut Shemayni, that means 974 generations before the creation of the world, the Torah was created. Take a look at number 18. Says the Yalkut Shemayni. Tav, Tav, Kuf, Ayin, Dalet, Dairois, Kaidem, Shenivra, Oilam. 974 generations before the world was created, Yashav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam was sitting, Vidarash, Vichiker, Ubachan, Vitziref, Eskol HaTorah Kula. The Ribbono Shel Olam was expounding, investigating, searching, purifying the Torah. Says the Medrash, two lines later. V'achar kach hoitziu mipiv v'kavai b'atayra shenemar imrois Hashem amorois tahiros. Says the Yalkut Shemayni, the Torah is so precise, it's so designated, that if one letter of the Torah would move one iota, the entire world would cease to exist. Says the Yalkut Shemayni, v'chol davar v'davar shekava b'tayra im zazmi mekayma. If any part of the Torah would move, kima, even a tiny bit, kilkel es kol olam kulay, the whole world would be destroyed. Right? Haka, why? What's the big deal? There is a yud, there's no yud. Whether the yud has a kutsu shel yud, no. What do you mean? Is there a big deal where the sun is? We'll move the sun off a little bit. Yeah, if you move the sun a little bit, the world would explode. So if you move one ois of the Torah a little bit, the world couldn't exist. If, let's say, you added an ois to the Torah, all of a sudden human beings would have three heads. If you added one word to the Torah, all of a sudden the whole world would be off kilter. Because if the Bria would change, you understand the world couldn't exist. You could imagine if the Torah would be deviated just a tiny bit, the whole world would self-destruct. I'll give you an example. Now, that means, this is very important to understand. The same way, that means, everything in the Torah is a perfect blueprint to creation. If there are certain things in the Torah that need to be hidden in the Torah, and they, let's say, are now revealed, the world also couldn't exist. Ribbono shel Olam determined certain parts of the blueprint cannot be revealed. So for example, in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Gimel, that the Gemara says, who said the Targum of Nevi'im? Gemara says, Yonasan ben Uziel. And when Yonasan ben Uziel revealed Targum of Nevi'im, Nizdazai Eretz Yisrael Arbameyas Parsal Arbameyas Parsa. The world shook. The world was literally at the brink of self-destruction. Why? Because if the Ribbono shel Olam determined that a chelek of Torah, namely the Targum of Nevi'im, needs to be concealed, so whoever, so to speak, violates the plans of the blueprint is shaking the core of the universe. And now all of a sudden the world is going into earthquake. The world can't stand anymore. Basically, this idea is what the Zayar says: "Istakel ba'iraisa ubara'am." That Ribbono shel Olam looked at the Torah and he created the world. What does that mean? What does that mean? Ribbono shel Olam looked at the Torah and he created the world. Nefesh HaChaim brings down. Look at number 22. Nefesh HaChaim brings down in the third paragraph. He says he brings down from the Zayar and Parshas Truma, the Chadbara Kutshabrichu Alma. When Ribbono shel Olam created the world. Istakel ba ba'iraisa ubara alma. It's like he took out the big, you ever see the architectural plans of a building, you unroll it. Now, if you want to have a den in your new house, and there is no den in the architectural plans, you won't have a den in your house. If you don't have the extra bedroom that you wanted in the architectural plans, you could tell the architect from today till tomorrow you want an extra bedroom, but if it's not on the plans, it won't be in the house. It's the same thing with the Torah. Whatever it says in the Torah is revealed in the world. Whatever it doesn't say in the Torah is not revealed in the world. I'll tell you a Ga'onistic Pshat, Rav Aaron Cutler. Oyon v'noira. If I were to ask you, what is possibly the most fundamental principle in all of Judaism? Olam haba. Olam hazeh, doimer lefrozen olam haba, the world to come. Yisoid ha-chasidus, v'sharash ha-avoida ha-tmima, she-yizbara v'yis-ami, se-yitzol adam, ha-choy-vasa, v'ilom, ilom, ha-tzor, she-yazim, ha-bonim, ha-vasa, v'chol ha-sharom, v'chol ha-mechai, v'hu, she-adam, le-nivra, ela, l'is-ani, ga-Hashem, says the Mesil Sasharim. That's the principle number one. This world is preparation for the world to come. So could someone please tell me why it doesn't say Olam Haba one time in the Ho-Chamish? Yeah, good kasha. Right, the Kli Yakar brings down 14 Perushim in the beginning of Chukai, so why it doesn't say Olam Haba? With all the Perushim! But this is Yisoid HaYisoidus. Why wouldn't it say Ribbono shel Olam created the world, and then after a person dies, they go to Olam Haba? Could you? Maybe we should say it. I have to rely on Perkei Avos. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, the Torah is the architectural plans of the Bria, of the world. Whatever it says in the Chumash, you could see with your eyes in this world. But there's a problem. Because Ribbono shel Olam does not want us to see Olam Haba. Ayin lo yirasa lekim zu lasecha. Olam Haba, you can't see Ribbono shel Olam and you can't see. So therefore, says Rav Aaron, the Torah had to conceal Olam Haba in the architectural plans, at least of the revealed Torah. So that in revealed reality, we cannot see Olam Haba. Because if it would say in the Chumash, Olam Hazeh, Doimer, Befroz, Vnei, Olam Haba, so then we would see when we do a mitzvah, you go to Olam Haba, and there Yud Gimel, Nahore, Safar, Samoin, and why doesn't the Torah say, yeah, Olam Haba is so geshmak, you have this number of rivers, and this number of whatever the Gemara say about it. The answer is, if it would be in the Chumash, you would be able to see it with your eyes. And the Ribbono shel Olam doesn't want you to see it with your eyes. So therefore the Ribbono shel Olam had to remove it. had to surgically remove it from the architectural plans. Says the Nefesh HaChaim. You know how Rebbe Hashem created the world? Look at these words. The Pasuk says, Va'eyeh etzloi amoin. It says in Mishle, Perek Ches, I will be to you as a tool. The Torah is a tool. Ki bara kochabrichu alma. When the Rebbe Hashem created the world, Ad la'ispri alma akdima sayraisa. Before the world was created, there was a Torah. V'chadba kochabrichu lemivrei alma. When the Rebbe Hashem wanted to create the world, have a mistakel be'oiraisa v'chol mila u'mila. Rebbe Hashem just looked at the words. Rebbe Hashem looked at the words. Bereishis bara lekim. All of a sudden, there was a world. Istakel b'hai mila ubaras hashamayim. How did Hashem create the world, the shamayim? He looked at the words, es hashamayim. How did Hashem create the ar? K'siv ba v'yar melekim yihi ar. Istakel b'hai mila ubara es ha'ar. So you can imagine, if there's any deviation, if the Baal Kore does not pronounce a yud, why do we jump on him? What's a, right? The biggest crime in the world, the Baal Kore, mispronounces a word? Yeah, it's a big deal. Because that can make the difference between whether there's just going to be a regular rainfall or is it going to be a tornado. This is the blueprint of creation. This is the blueprint of history. What would happen? You say, oh, big deal. I'll just take a little proton and I'll remove it from the electron. Big deal. It's just a little atom anyway. Just take the, you know, split the atom, split it in half. It's very small, you can barely see it anyway. Is it really a big deal? Yeah, that's the difference between there being a country there or not being a country. It's the difference between an atom bomb and not. Well, if you remove an oisa, the Torah, it's even more disastrous. It's even more earth-shattering. Because the Torah, the atom, is the building block. The Torah is the tool with which Rebbe Hashem created it. And therefore, says with Simcha Zisel Breida, Yaakov Avinu is in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Evar, doing what he always did. So how did he succeed in hiding there? You know why? Because the Torah went ahead and removed it from the open reality of the blueprint. It doesn't say in the Chumash that Yaakov learned. You know what it says? He slept in that place. But the 14 years he was in Yeshiva Shem Ever, he didn't sleep. He must have been learning. So why doesn't it say he was learning? Because the Torah is specifically skirting the issue, removing from the explicit reference that Yaakov learned. Because if it doesn't say it in the blueprint, Yaesov could search the Beis Medrash from today forever. He will not find Yaakov Avinu. What do you mean? But Yaakov's there. He's not in the reality. He's not Ba'olam HaZeh. But where was he? He was there, wasn't he? He's not in the Metzius. Well, how could that be? Because the Torah removed him from the revealed text. And if he's not in the text, he's not in reality. The same way Rav Aaron Cutler says, you can't see Olam Haba because Olam Haba is not written in the Chumash. You can't see Yaakov learning in Yeshiva, Shem Ve'Ever, if it doesn't say in the Chumash he was learning in Yeshiva, Shem Ve'Ever. Whatever it says, you could see. Whatever it doesn't say, you can't see. So how did the Torah accomplish this? By saying, he slept in that place, but 14 years in Yeshiva Ve'Ever, he didn't sleep. How do we know Yaakov was learning? Oh, it doesn't want to say explicitly. Esav, Yishmael was 137, and from the years of the life of Yishmael, we could deduce, we could infer that Yaakov must have been learning for 14 years. But don't say it. Because the moment we say Yaakov was learning, that's the moment you give up the hiding place of Yaakov Avinu. But once it's omitted from the text, it's omitted from reality. And how else did the Torah accomplish this? Comes Rebbe Hashem, and he takes the building blocks of the universe. You know what the building blocks of the universe are? The words of the Torah. And he takes Parshas Vayetze, and really Parshas Vayetze should be an open Parsha, where things are clear, things are revealed, things are apparent. And the Baal Shem says, well, this part of the universe, I'm going to make a DNA structural change to reality. I'm going to take Parshas Vayetze, and he's going to fuse it together with Parshas Toldos, where it's completely closed, there's no space between the end of Toldos. Ribbono Shel Olam is hiding Yaakov Avinu. He's hiding him from reality. He's removing the openness. He's removing the apparency. How? By fusing together, by removing the open spaces. Ribbono Shel Olam is changing the apparent reality of the world. There are no spaces in Parshas Vayetze, so that everything is closed in. Esav could search Yaakov Avinu's chair. Yaakov Avinu's chavrusa sitting right opposite him, shuckling away. And the pages of his Gemara are turning, but Yaakov Avinu ain't there. Because if you can't see Olam Haba, because the Torah doesn't write it, you can't see Yaakov Avinu learning in the Mitzvah. Says Rav Simcha Zisselbrei. We come to Terach. And Terach died 60 years later. So why does the Torah say he died 60 years earlier? So that people shouldn't think that Avram Avinu left an aging father. Yeah, but they see Terach walking the streets, and they see Abraham left. So what, people got their information from the Chumash? There was no Chumash! The answer is, the Chumash is the reality of the universe. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam writes in the Torah, Vayamos Terach Bichara, people could read in the newspaper that Terach is alive. People could see Terach walking down the street. People could have seen the goodbye party that Terach made for his son, leaving Haran. But in their reality of their consciousness, it's Vayomos Terach B'Haran. Terach is as good as dead. But they see him. The reality of the world is only what it's reported in the blueprint. And if in the blueprint it says, Vayomos Terach B'Haran, in people's open consciousness, when people walk down the street, they say, yeah, it's no wonder to me why Avram Avinu left, because Terach died. But I just spoke to him 2 minutes ago. It's not in the reality. The Metzius, the reality of the document, the Torah says he died, that is what is apparent to people. The Ramban says, why doesn't the Torah write that Rivka Imenu passed away? Because if the Torah would write Rivka passed away, who would come to bury her? The B'nai Ches. But now that the Torah doesn't write it, the B'nai Ches are not going to come bury her. The B'nai Ches are reading the Torah to see if Rivka did die, didn't die? No, they're not reading the Torah. But if the Torah establishes in the blueprint and doesn't say that Rivka died, then in the consciousness of man, it's as if Rivka's still alive. They could see her being taken out to the kever. They could see, doesn't matter. The B'nai Ches will never come bury her. They'll never realize it. There's a certain level of reality that is not apparent unless it's in the text. If Olam Haba is not in the Chumash, you can't see it. By the way, I'll tell you, I wasn't planning on mentioning this, but you know, the Gemara in Masechta Taina says, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yeah, Yaakov Avinu didn't die. So the Gemara asks, V'chi b'chdi, Ka Saftu Saftanaya, V'chantu Chantaya, V'kavru Kavraya. What, they eulogized him for nothing? They buried him for nothing? Right? In other words, the Gemara says he didn't die. In fact, the Gemara of Nachman asks, how's that possible? But they buried him! Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mikra ani doiresh. I'm darshaning a pasuk. V'yata avdi, al tira avdi Yaakov, v'al techas, ki hinani moshiacha meirachek, v'yat zaracha meeretz shivya. Makish hu lezaroi. We compare Yaakov to his children. Ma zaroi b'chayim, af Yaakov b'chayim. What's the conversation over here? Rabbi Yochanan said Yaakov didn't die. So they asked him, but they put him 6 feet under. Some Rabbi Yochanan, I darshan a pasuk. Nice drasha, beautiful drasha, good drasha, yeah? But we saw Yaakov buried. How did you answer the question? The question is, we saw Yaakov being buried. So nice drasha, but we buried him, we embalmed him, we cried for him. So what do you mean you darshan a pasuk? Says Rav Hutner in the Pachad Yitzchak. What Rabbi Yochanan is saying is exactly what we've been saying in the shir. Whatever it says in the open text is open reality. So they thought what Rabbi Yochanan meant was, Yaakov Avinu didn't die! He's walking the streets! So they asked him, he's not walking the streets, he's buried! Rabbi Yochanan said, no, you didn't get what I'm saying. It doesn't say in the Chumash he didn't die. In the Chumash it says he died! And that's why Yaakov, to your eye, he's buried and he's embalmed and we cried for him. Mikra ani dayresh. I'm saying it in Tarshish Baal Peh. What it says in Tarshish Baal Peh is not in the revealed reality. That's only on some level of some dimension. In other words, whatever is in the written text is in the revealed reality. If it doesn't say Olam Haba in the written text, Olam Haba is not revealed to us. If it doesn't say Yaakov was learning, Yaakov's learning is not revealed to us. If it says Yaakov died, what's revealed to us is Yaakov died. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Mikra ani dayresh. I'm just saying it in Tarshish Baal Peh. Whatever it says in the Tarshish Baal Peh is a different dimension of reality. It's not a reality that is visible to our eyes. That's why if it says in the Torah, Terach died, to the perception of man, Terach is as good as dead, despite the fact that he's walking the streets. Rivka is as good as alive, because it doesn't say she died. I'll tell you another example of this. Look at number 28, in Parashas Vayishlach. It talks about all the animals that Yaakov Avinu was sending to Esav. The male rams, and the male goats, the female goats, the male rams, the female rams. And then it says, Gemalim meinikois shloishim. It says, Gemalim meinikois ubeneim shloishim. By the camel, it's the only animal, it doesn't talk about the male and female. It talks about the female and their young. Right? It says, 30 nursing camels ubeneim and their children. So Rashi says, what happened to the husbands? Rashi says, really, b'neihem means b'na'ehem, they're builders, the husbands. But since camels are tsinuim, they're very modest, they're modest animals, therefore it did not want to say explicitly the husband, so it said it in a more discreet way. Gemaleim meinikois, ubeneim, their children, but we darshin, their husbands. So what's happening? All of a sudden the Torah is like a zoo book. The Torah is telling me the habits of camels. They should know camels happen to be, here's an interesting biological tidbit of information that you should know. All the other animals are more prutzim, but camels are more tsnuim. What the Torah is giving, I need a remez. So I was going to say over at the Shabbos table, you want to hear a nice remez? Camels are very tsnuim. So therefore, the Torah says a remez bin uvenayim, it means a banaehem. Says Rav Simcha Zisa, no, just the opposite. The Torah is the blueprint for creation. What made it that in the reality of the world, all the other animals are more open, and the camels are the most modest of all the behemoths? The fact that the Torah wrote camels, uvenayim, and only was merames to the zachar, that created a reality that of all the animals, the camels are the most modest. It's not the Torah's being merames to this phenomenon. The Torah is creating this phenomenon by writing about the gemalim in this life and in this way. Let's come back to the Ramban. Did Klal Yisrael sin in Parshas Bahaloscha three consecutive times? Absolutely. They ran by Yisrael Mehar Hashem, the Mesoninim, the Hasafsof. But when something happens in this world, that's not reality. What's reality is what it says in the architectural plans. If the Torah would write by Yisrael Mehar Hashem, by Yisrael Mehar Hashem, if the Torah would write it like that, would document it like that, if in the blueprint of creation it would say, Klal Yisrael sinned, back to back to back, that would create a reality that would be part of our makeup, it would be part of our DNA, that Klal Yisrael are chaitim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I don't care how it happened, but we cannot write in the blueprint, in the document, that Klal Yisrael sinned, back to back to back. Because if it's in the document, that becomes the fabric of reality. We'll take it one further step. One at a time. It's not only the way something is written in the Torah will create what the reality is, but when during the year we read certain parts of the Torah, that also affects the way the year will be in reality. I'll give you one final example. The Magen Avraham brings down, this is in number 32, the Magen Avraham brings down from the Ksavim, that Klal Yisrael, every Jew, should cry over the burning of the Torah, because when the Torah was burnt, the Torah was given over to the Klipa. It says the Magen Avraham, it says in the Sefer Tanya, not to be confused with the Tanya of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, this is a much earlier work. It says the Sefer Tanya, says Magen Avraham, that on the sixth day of Parshas Chukas, there's a minog to fast, because on that day 20 wagon loads of Sfarim were burnt in Sarfas in France. So ask the Magen Avraham Akasha, since when the whole year do you fast or do you commemorate anything by a day of the week? Everything on our calendar is the day of the month. Chanukah is the 25th day of Kislev. Pesach is the 15th day of Nisan. Sukkot is the 15th day of Tishrei. Since when do we commemorate something by the day of the week? Says the Magen Avraham. Because in those days, in the 15th century, in the 13th century, they made a She'elach Chaloyim. They asked the heavens via dream, why is this tragedy happening? And from Shamayim they reported that the Yoyim HaParsha caused it. Because that was Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. And they got the following message in a dream. Zois chukas haTorah is the Targum, da gezeiras oiraisa. This is the decree of the Torah. And since that week, they lengthened the parsha, the words, zois chukas haTorah, and it's the day before Shabbos, they determined that it was the kriyas haTorah of that Shabbos that made the tragedy. So now you see an added chiddush. It's not just the placement of the parsha. It's not just the opening spaces, the closing space on the time. It's the time of the year that a parsha is read that affects the reality of the world. If you want to know why it's snowing outside, there's something in this week's parsha that we're going to read that created the metzios of what's happening in the world. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Magen Avraham says openly, why do we fast Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas Yoyim HaParsha Goyrem? How is Yaakov Avinu able to hide in Yeshiva Shem Ever? Because the Torah takes Parshas Toldos, Parshas Vayetze, merges them together, merges the two Parshas together, conceals Yaakov Avinu. Esav's looking for him, he's not there. The Torah doesn't write he's learning, it's hidden from the world. One last quick example. Parshas Toldos. Eile Toldos, Yitzchak and Abraham. Abraham hoiledes Yitzchak. Rashi says, you know, if it says Yitzchak ben Abraham, I got it that Abraham is the father of Yitzchak. If 1 plus 2 is 3, 2 plus 1 is also 3. It doesn't, you could say, you don't have to say it both ways. So Rashi says, well, the late Sonei Hadar said, they found Yitzchak on the street. So what did Ribbono Shel Olam do? He was tsar klaster panov shel Yitzchak to look like Avraham. He molded Yitzchak's face to look like Avraham. Therefore, there was edus that Avraham hoiledes Yitzchak. So we always tend to think of it that the fact that the Torah repeats Avraham hoiledes Yitzchak, that's a remez to the fact that Yitzchak looked like Avraham. Based on what we learned today, you could say a little bit deeper. It's not a remez, it's not a hint to the fact that Yitzchak looked like Avraham. By the Ribbono Shel Olam writing extra words in the Torah, Avraham hoiledes Yitzchak, that is what physically manipulated the face of Yitzchak to look like Avraham. The Torah is the blueprint of creation. Those words are not the remez to what happened. Those words made that the reality. So says Rav Simcha Zisa Broida, you know what you see from here? If the movement of one letter in the Torah would destroy the world, first of all, look how beloved the Avos are to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because look, their lifetimes span so many Oisiyos HaTorah, so many words of Torah, so many Parshas HaTorah. Look, this is the most beloved thing to Ribbono Shel Olam. If in the architectural plans themselves, there are kama Parshiyos that speak about their life, this is the most precious thing to Ribbono Shel Olam. And look how valuable they are. Because if changing one letter could destroy the world, and yet the Ribbono Shel Olam was willing to change words and letters and parshiyos just to protect their kavod. Where the Ribbono Shel Olam writes, Terach died, the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to tamper with the architectural plans just for the kavod of the Avos. So this is a little bit of an illustration of the tremendous amkos of every word of Torah, every pasuk of Torah, every ois of Torah. the value of the avos b'enei Hashem and the value of tremendous power. Every word of Torah, every ois of Torah. I thank all of you for listening. I wish you all a wonderful day. Shkoyach. If anybody wants, we have CDs available in the front of the room.